Beckham's Basement, live at Edmunds Oast Brewing Company, and we are at the very first of hopefully many supporters club meets. This is the Arsenal Man City match, so obviously the match of the weekend. Number two versus number three in the Premier League. Liverpool has just secured a three-point gap between themselves and the Gunners, 4 points between themselves and Man City, with a win 2-1 over Brighton and Hove Albion. Nick, we owe some apologies, though, first.
Yes.
We owe a massive apology to Borussia Dortmund, who yesterday went to the Allianz Arena and did the unthinkable. Now, Nick, if I told you that the scoreline was going to be 2-0 at Dortmund, you'd find that a little bit more believable, right?
Yeah, I call you crazy.
But 2-0 at the Allianz Arena, this is now the second shutout that Bayern has suffered in the second half of the season. First one, of course, to Werder Bremen, 1-0. Then to Borussia Dortmund yesterday, 2-0. And Borussia Dortmund went down there, and we talked about this. This was very important that we talked about earlier this week. It's mentality. Dortmund had the mentality. They went down there with a killer instinct. They went down there not to lose. They didn't play timid. They didn't play scared. And they never let that Bayern surge at the beginning of the game get in their heads or affect them. They went down there. Terzic went down there with a plan. They executed the plan, let Bayern have possession, and they came and they took counterattacks in stride, and they ended up going ahead 1-0, kept that lead through the half. So what were your thoughts on that match? I mean, I thought it was a fantastic executed match by Dortmund.
Yeah, just Bayern Munich did not come to play at all. Watching the match was disappointing. Chances were missed. BVB made their chances count more, even though they had less chances. And Bayern Munich got slapped. They obviously could have cared less about that match. I told one of our listeners during the match, he was back and forth with me, and he agreed that they just didn't even show up. They did not care. It was like we know this guy's gone. The league's over with. And if I'm not mistaken, listeners, you can check this out. At the end of the match, Tuchel even congratulated Leverkusen on their winning of the title.
He actually did, yeah. He actually conceded the title, which is, I guess, if you're a manager that's outgoing and you've already been basically sacked, you can do that. There's nothing left in him for it. So why not have the gentleman's handshake on the way out and say, look, this is your year, Leverkusen. This is the time. For a club, for him to do that, I will say that's a classy move on his part to do that.
Yeah.
You're never, ever, hardly ever going to see a Bayern Munich manager concede a league to anybody.
Yeah, never.
Especially not verbally. Yeah. So him doing that, that shows, you know, obviously there is no future for him at the club, so why not go ahead and do it? But at the same time, it really is a true statement from a club that has dominated this league for over a decade now, right? And it's a passing of the torch.
Yeah, if he's going to say that out publicly, what do you think's going on in that locker room, especially before that match? I mean, there's no way they were mentally ready to play, and it showed. I mean, that was just a terrible outing by Bayern Munich. All they have now is Champions League and Arsenal, conveniently, we are here at their match against City. So, yeah, man, just fitting that Bayern Munich go down. And, just from the start, it was terrible, very terrible.
Yeah. So the other one that we have to talk about, we just watched this. It was Liverpool, because it's relevant to this match, of course. Liverpool against Brighton. So I turned the game on 6 minutes in, and I already see Liverpool's down 1-0.
Yeah.
I didn't text you. I didn't say anything. I was just very quiet. I said, you know, because when I turned it on the 6 minute, Liverpool were the aggressors. They kept going right at Brighton's box. Of all the players to score against you, Danny Welbeck, I'll say he's a former
Arsenal legend.
Arsenal legend. He's a former Arsenal legend. Statues are being built outside the Emirates as we speak. It was just one of those things where, why does Liverpool have to concede? But I had this feeling like the way that they were playing, they were angry, they were pissed off, and there was just no way that Liverpool were not going to go into the half at least equalized. Yeah. So Salah comes, excuse me, it was Diaz, 27th minute, gets the equalizer, beautiful, beautiful ball off his foot, beats the keeper 1-1, and so what were your impressions of this game? Liverpool, obviously two massive chances in the second half. offside by a cat's whisker. And I would say this, if it were allowed, the goal had been allowed,
yeah,
would VAR have overturned it? Now, it was disallowed. The flag went up. So now you have to have indisputable evidence to say that it's... Hi there. How's it going?
Thanks.
Oh, we got some Arsenal raffle tickets. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
We got raffle tickets. Yeah. Okay. So, what were your... And then, of course, there's a two-on-one later. The ball is handed off to Salah. He's got a defender in between him and the box, and the keeper's on his side of the goal.
We call it a layup.
Okay. I'm going to be critical of this, right? Because you go, if you lay that ball in at the precise time, it should have been more like a give and go. Instead, he takes the shot. It's a poor angle because the keeper's basically right in front of him. And then you have the defender in between him. I believe it was Diaz. I think he was on the other wing, right? So... If you lay that off, it's a goal because 80% of the goal is empty.
Yeah.
Defender can't get to him.
Yeah,
goal is empty.
Goalie can't get it.
Right. So Liverpool end up basically expect. That's where you like the stat, right? Expected goals.
Yeah.
Well, that was an expected goal.
GA is ridiculous.
It is. So overall thoughts on that game, Nick, because you and I talked about it, the offside, the missed opportunity by Salah. But overall, I thought if you take those two things out of the game, I thought Liverpool, except for the very first, 2 minutes, obviously, where they concede. I thought they dominated that game. I thought that Brighton basically never, De Zerbi, which is a bother for me, never changes tactics, keeps going in with the same thing that he always does.
Yeah.
They go down 2-1, he's not going to change. They get equalized on 1-1, he's not going to change.
Yeah.
Very few adjustments made by this manager, which for me says Liverpool does not want someone like that that's going to be it's not going to make tactical changes at the halftime. Yeah. So what were your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, you really don't want that. I mean, it's a worry watching that. Knowing that this guy is up to be your manager. I mean, not saying he's trash or anything, but, you want a guy who's going to come after it and change things when needed. You don't want a guy who's going to sub off someone in the 80th minute and try to make changes at the very end. So I get that. It was a good match, man. I right before Diaz scored that first goal, I just had clicked the button for Liverpool to score because they were on an onslaught. They were coming. They were not going into that half down 1-0.
Right.
It was plain as day to see. And, they equalized, and then it was all Liverpool. I mean, I did not see this a lot. I just was pulling up to your house, and I saw you throwing up your hands. So I knew something.
I ran outside, and I was like, did you see this? Yeah. When do you see this? I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah, so I was listening, and Mark was saying that it was a crazy miss. So I knew something happened. So when you have a layup like that, Salah's 80-90% of the time is going to take the shot. It doesn't matter if he's going to take it right at the goalkeeper. He'd rather have that goal than assist. And if he did make that assist, the guy would have like 10 or 15 more assists each season. But for whatever reason, he just can't do it, man. It's not in his DNA to pass the ball, even when you have 80% of an open goal. So
right.
It was just
going to try and get some Arsenal supporters over here.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. So we saw that they closed it out. Brighton really didn't stand too much of a chance. So it was good. It was a good match. I did think they would score another goal. Liverpool would, but they finished it out.
I'm trying to get this guy's attention.
Yeah, he ain't paying no attention.
Yeah.
So we're almost to kick off here. We got like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're about to walk out the tunnel. And we'll be kicking off the football Super Bowl of the weekend.
So preview here, right? We're going to talk about this match. We talked about it on Wednesday. Or was it Thursday? I've lost track of
Wednesday. Yeah.
You guys got to remember, I was at Avenged Sevenfold on Friday. It's been a long weekend. I've been on the road all weekend. Got back into town yesterday afternoon. Great show, by the way, Raleigh. You did things right. But this match right here, Mick, how do you think? We talked about possession, right? Who's going to concede possession? Who's going to let the other team have the ball? And we talked about the fact that Arsenal could, in fact, have more shot attempts, but Man City will have less shot attempts with better quality shots. So what do we think? This is a very similar matchup type to Liverpool and Man City just a few weeks ago. So do we think that this is going to be a repeat of that? You think City's going to let Arsenal do with the ball what they want and then basically catch them on the counter with their pants down? What do we think?
I don't know, man. They started Kovacic, so I feel like...
Come on, dude. Look at me.
I feel like they're kind of conceding a little bit of possession. It is in City's backyard, so I feel like they're not too concerned with possession. Possession don't always mean everything, as we know. it's like you said, it's quality of shots. And
right.
City will probably have more quality on their shots, and that will more likely equal more goals. So
right.
I think it's going to be back and forth, man. I think we're going to get a goal within the first 20 minutes, and then it'll open it up, and we could see a thriller here, man.
Yeah.
There's very slim chance that we get a 1-0, 0-0, you know, a very quiet match. This should be exciting.
Right. Well, it's not going to be 0-0. I think there's going to be goals. We have to talk about the pressure that Liverpool puts on, right? Because they're going to stay ahead.
Yeah.
They're going to stay ahead. This is one of those photo finishes. Now, the typical way this has gone, the last two times this has happened, this was the 17-18 season, and it was – no, sorry, the 18-19 season and the 2021-22 season.
Yeah.
City won the league by 1 point, and in the second of those two scenarios, Liverpool had the lead on match day 38. Villa were up. Steven Gerrard's Villa, I should say. So he was done trying to do his old club a solid.
Yeah.
They were beating Man City 2-0. Man City comes back, wins it 3-2.
Yeah.
Liverpool beat Wolves, but it doesn't matter in the end of the day.
Yeah.
But you enter now with third teams in this, right? It's a triple threat match instead of a one-on-one,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So instead of Man City feeling the pressure on this by themselves or Arsenal feeling the pressure on this by themselves, they're actually feeling the pressure together.
Yeah.
So this is honestly a must-win. Hey, man, come over here. What's your name?
Gary.
Gary? Nice. What do you think about this? What do you think about this match? Who do you think is going to line up? How do you think he's going to line up, Arteta? Are you guys going to concede possession of City? Are you guys going? What do you think you're going to do? How's this going to work out?
I think I'll probably frustrate them as much as I can. I think that's pretty much how they played the first game at home.
Okay.
They didn't have Saka. I think we had no Saka. Martinelli didn't come to the second half. I think we just tried frustrating him. It was very, like, I feel like, chess match of just playing defense,
yeah,
popping in, and it felt like he was almost trying to isolate, like, Holland and
right,
let them transition.
Yeah. So we talked about this earlier this week. We talked about the fact that we talked about this earlier this week about when Liverpool played City, what's the chess match going to be on possession, right? Because in normal times, you would think the city's going to possess it because they can do that. But
yeah,
they have 100%. Obviously they have the ability to counter as well. So Liverpool actually had 55% possession in that match. So they actually conceded.
Damn. Yeah. Okay.
So that's the thing is, when you have City this season, it's very weird. But when Pep finds a team that can control the ball, Arsenal can control the ball. They can go forward without any problem. He lets that happen and waits for the mistake. Then you have all these sprinting down the pitch. You got Haaland. You got Saka. You got these guys, right? Doku.
Yeah.
So in that particular thing, when you have that scenario, that's what we're trying to see, the chess match, is what is Pep going to do? Because I believe whatever he does, Arteta's gonna have to counter that.
Yeah.
I think last season that was a huge part of it. He played Bernardo Silva at left back. And I think
right
through Arteta. Like he was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Now you're on the Arteta bandwagon, you like him?
I liked him from the beginning.
I was
very cautiously optimistic, but I was still like, you know what? We've been going through the shit for a while.
Yeah.
And now it's finally, it's like we need something to build us up because this isn't just going to change overnight. We're not Chelsea where we can buy a new manager. And just,
right.
We're not just going to all of a sudden turn it around. I think they invested well to know this guy wanted to come to the team. He saw the future.
Exactly.
He saw a huge project. And they've let him fulfill that.
So let me ask you, even bottling the league last year,
yeah,
getting kicked out of Europa versus Sporting,
yes,
if you blow, you get knocked out of Champions League and you blow the title this season, do you still keep them going? Do you keep them in?
I 100% do. I think, to me, last season, I think it's too harsh. I think a lot of people, and I understand.
Well, you were up 8 points.
We were. But I do think, the two injuries were massive. Saliba being out. And then for the biggest two, I think it's Tomiyasu.
Tomiyasu was important.
The same game, they both came out. And Tomiyasu played center back. He could fill it. He does for Japan a lot.
Yeah. To counter him with the 8-point lead, I would say this. I thought Arsenal was ahead of schedule last year.
That's the biggest truth. Yeah.
Right. So this is the year. This title push right here is legit. Mm-hmm.
This is
last
legit.
Year was kind of smoke and mirrors, I think. Right.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think last year everyone's exciting. I think it was just a hype around it. It was amazing. But now it's,
hey, thank you for stopping by and talking with us, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, man.
Very well spoken.
Back in space, man. check Spotify.
What is it?
Beckham's Basement. Like
Beckham's
David
Basement.
Beckham.
Yeah,
Beckham's
Basement.
Okay. You'll be on there, so listen.
I'll listen to that.
Yeah,
man. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Seriously.
Nice to meet you, man.
Hey, good luck to you guys.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So that's a very interesting take. You know, I thought he had a really good.
Yeah.
I love how you. This is Nick, right? He comes right in that you guys bottled the league last year, and Nick, like you're going to challenge that, right?
8 points.
No, I know. But like I said, my thought is I think that was completely ahead of schedule, because if you remember the season before, they did nothing. And then they're there, and it's like everyone's surprised that Arsenal's in first place by 8 points. I understand it's 8 points, but they didn't have the experience yet to hold on.
Yeah,
City are killers.
Yeah.
City are killers.
Yeah, well, they have been.
When they smell blood in the water, they come after you. And I think Arsenal, when they started to hit that lull, and okay, now it's not 8 points. Now it's 6 points. Now it's 5 points.
You
start to slide back, right?
You gotta, if you're a top club, and you need.
So we're kicking off now.
You need silverware. They blew it. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I say that because if you're a top club, you have to. You want to win silverware. That's the object of the game, is to win silverware.
Yeah, you have to. Yes, it is the object of the game.
And if he can't bring it to your team, then why continue to go through with it? I mean, he's been there 4 or 5 years. They haven't won anything but an FA Cup where he had Dracula's squad. So it's not like he had his squad. He had Aston Villa manager's squad. So, you know, it's just, if he doesn't win a trophy or a title or anything good within the next season or two, you got to start thinking this isn't the guy. I mean, you have the squad. What I mean, you gotta win something. The object of it is to win, not to get in the top four.
Hey, and I gotta say this too, like while I'm sitting here as a Liverpool supporter, this turnout here is amazing. This is I've been to many Liverpool supporters meets and matchups and it's this is a great turnout. These guys and girls have shown up today.
Yeah, a lot of people, man.
A lot of people. So,
match,
so yeah. So I mean, I'm very impressed by this. I love this kind of atmosphere. You've got real football supporters out here. They're here for their club, and I don't see a single City. I see a Liverpool supporter over there. I see him.
Yeah.
Oh, there is one kid. There's one kid with a City kit right there.
Yeah, I see it. Well, it's not blue though. So
it's not blue. Not, no, he's not standing out. Yeah, but you know, I'm looking for the blue. But it's yeah. This is all Arsenal. I mean, and this is. Everybody wants to know this is Edmunds Oast. It is the Charsenal, so Charleston Arsenal Supporters Club. And these fine folks have turned out today to support the Gunners, the Gunners.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say, Nick, is with this match.
Oh. He's not offside.
Was that Holland?
Oh, that's... Bro.
He was offside. Okay, so...
I mean,
the match has started. The match has started, but it's one of.
Oh, he was so close.
So here's the thing. Now they didn't have to experience a race last year, right? They were ahead by 8 points, but they weren't in a tit for tat every week, right?
No.
So Liverpool and City have experience with this. This is the thing. So Arsenal, I think this is a true test for Arteta. This is gonna really show where this club is right now, where this team is right now. And if they're able to challenge. Here's the other thing I want to pose to you.
This is Pappy, so he has to beat Pappy.
Right, but I want to say this. You just asked that gentleman about the Champions League, right?
Yeah.
Or you said if you get knocked out. Is this...
Oh!
Nick is into the match. I'm watching it. So he's watching one TV behind me, and I'm watching one TV behind him.
He pulled him down, man. He pulled him down.
So here's the thing.
They're going to
Bayern just conceded defeat in the league, right?
Yeah. What a move.
What do they have to play for? What do they have to play for? Yes, they do.
Just champions.
Yes, right. That's a big thing, right?
Massive.
So if Bayern, let me ask you this. Like, we're talking, this is the most vulnerable Bayern side in years, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, Nick, I want you to tell me, is this the most dangerous Bayern side that Arsenal can face because they have conceded the league and now all they have to do?
Yeah.
So this is the thing.
That
if they don't, if they don't beat Bayern, if they get knocked out by this Bayern Munich squad that find themselves 13 points down against Leverkusen in the league, is that grounds for concern?
Yeah.
Arsenal should be favored, right?
Arsenal should. they should be favored, but Bayern Munich now has nothing to play for except Champions League, and I think that's bad for Arsenal. Arsenal should have wanted Bayern Munich to win so they can still trick themselves to think they have a chance at the title. With that loss yesterday, Bayern Munich only has Champions League, so that means they're going to be focused, zoned in for that match. Kane wants to get it. That's the only trophy he can possibly touch, so I think that hurts Arsenal's chance.
Right. All right, well, we're going to take a break. We're going to check back in with you all at halftime. Until then, right now it's 0-0. It's in the fourth minute, and, yeah, we'll be back with you shortly. All right, so we're at the half right now, and actually, gotta say, this has been exactly the opposite of what we expected, because City has absolutely dominated possession. 72.2% here at the half, Arsenal 27.8%. I'm a little bit surprised by the fact that Arsenal have had so little possession. There's, as far as shots go, shots and shots on goal, this is actually exactly even. We have one shot on goal for each side, and we have four shots total for each, but Arsenal's 28% possession has just been a true surprise this match. So Arsenal conceding it. Now the danger that you risk in that is that you're gonna let City basically at some point break through with the way that they're playing. Nick, what were your impressions on that first half then?
Guys screaming and yelling. Gabriel De Jesus is not good. He is not going to give you quality. He is going to miss chances. They're doing their raffle right now. So let's see if we won, Critty. Where's your ticket?
We got a raffle. We'll be right back. All right, so the auction's over. We didn't win anything, or the raffle. But, so, Nick, your thoughts. So Gabriel Jesus had a couple of chances. We talked about how he's got more yellow cards than he's got goals.
He does, yeah.
So what's the general consensus on this then? I mean, what do you think about what you saw from him, the attack, City's dominant possession, and the fact that basically we're even on shots and shot attempts on goal? I mean, if you look at the stats in a whole, City are trying to break through, but they haven't done anything with their possession.
Yeah. With the setup that they had, I think.
Oh, looks like we're going to get in this picture.
Oh, we're in a picture.
We're going to be in a picture?
Yeah.
Liverpool supporter and the Leverkusen guy are going to be in a picture here. Yeah, we're lining up. We're lining up. So, this is what happens with a live show, guys. You know, you get put in the picture. But we'll do it, you know. We're going to participate.
We'll have to find out where this is posted.
Yeah, we'll have to find out where it's posted. Yeah. We got to get in tight, apparently, because it's a lot of people, but it's we got to get in tight. Well, you know we're going to get into the picture here.
In the middle of this.
We're going to get one more here. Should I yell up the Reds?
Come on, you get
All right. So, just Gabriel De Jesus is not quality. You got to think.
Yeah.
If Pep wanted to get rid of him, why would you want him on your team?
Agreed.
There's a reason.
She keeps looking over. She want to get. What are you guys' thoughts on the first half?
Get in here. Man City had way more possession, but we created way better chances.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's only like two chances total.
And unfortunately, it was Gabriel De Jesus.
That is also true. Yeah. You can't hit a broadside of a barn.
Yeah, so you're in agreement with that. It's like a little bit overhyped on him.
Yeah, he's not a striker. He's not a right winger.
Nope.
Martinelli is the only person who's a danger man who brings danger by himself.
You surprised that Arsenal's conceded possession so much?
I figured coming into it, our record's so bad that Liverpool, we can get over that psychological hump. City's a different animal. We are stuck in. We haven't won here since 2015.
Correct.
Yep. That haunts us every game we play against them, and will haunt us.
Yeah. Thought it was maybe a little bit of a different animal with coming in, having you guys having won the first matchup this season. So the return fixture, I'm like, maybe City's. This is a different Arsenal. They respect them a little bit more. This is not going to be the same team that you beat the last couple of years of Wenger. Or, I mean, it is a different beast now, right? So I thought maybe they climbed that mental hurdle. But 0-0 at the half. I mean, I'm not saying.
0-0 is good. Definitely take 0-0. I do think, had this been at the Emirates, Arsenal would have came out on the front foot a little bit more.
Absolutely.
But since we're at the Etihad, we're trying to keep that 0-0 until we do get that one lucky break, that one Havertz flick on. And the issue is we don't have Martinelli to run in after it.
Yeah.
We have Saka and we have Jesus,
who's out of position.
Mediocre pace.
And who isn't good, yes.
Hey, man, thank you for your time.
Thank you, man.
Good luck to you. Yeah. So, kind of backing up, Nick, what we said, it's not – so, still Arsenal probably struggling a little bit with the mental beast that is playing in the empty hut.
Yep.
I mean, it's not the same as the Emirates. They did beat them there earlier this season. And you think, okay, well, we know that we can beat them, but there is something about – if you haven't won somewhere, you know, Everton lost, what was it, 23 in a row or not lost, but they were winless in 23 years at Anfield.
Yeah.
And, of course, you mentioned this earlier this year, City's kryptonite is Anfield. City only has one or two wins in Pep's entire tenure at Anfield. Yeah. And one of them came during the injury-plagued title defense season when basically Klopp had no one in the back line. Virgil van Dijk, torn ACL, everyone was out.
Yeah.
And so I got to give that one a little bit of an asterisk, right? But like when at full strength, I don't know that Pep's ever won an Anfield with full strength. So
this
is another thing. Like Arsenal can prove us wrong if they win here today at the Empty Hod. Arsenal can prove us wrong if they go and take the fight to Bayern and knock them out. Because two teams in the last 10 years that have owned Arsenal and they've really haunted them in the Champions League, it's been Bayern Munich, and in the league, it's been Man City. What do you think? I mean,
no, absolutely, man. Yeah, this is when you got to overcome that hump if you want to get that silverware and you want to be contending for that title. It's all City. I understand that the Arsenal fan, of course, he sees they've had the better quality chances, but it's the guy on the end of the chances for Arsenal that just can't do it. And if City gets that one goal, it's going to be hard for them to come back just simply because they cannot keep the ball. They can't keep possession. It's really difficult for them to string together some passes unless they're stealing the ball from City. So it's just right now, man, it's going to be hard for them to come back from this. I know they're still 0-0, but, yeah, it's just – to me, it's all City right now, man.
Also, I want to point out the fact that we've talked about City's back line being their kryptonite. They're not very good at full strength. It's the weakness on the team. And honestly, that is probably a reason why they have tried to possess the ball a little bit more. They don't want Arsenal to have that many chances. So what do? You take the ball away from Arsenal.
Yep.
That creates less chances, right? Because you think less time with the ball. They're susceptible on the counter, but honestly, I haven't really seen a couple of breakthroughs where Arsenal has some chances on the counter, but at the very end of the day, I will say that when you have so Nathan Ake is already out, Rico Lewis is in for him. So again, number 82 tells you all you need to know. If you have an 82 on the back of your kit, it means you don't play very often.
Nope, okay.
Then you have Diaz, Akanji, and Cardiol. Right. So our thoughts on Akanji are very well known. Kind of a Dortmund flame out. Didn't really work out there. I think he's an average Premier League defender on his best day, not very good. So I think it's almost by design then, if you look at this possession, you want to have Arsenal with as few attempts as possible.
Yeah.
Because I think Pep, well, I know that Pep knows where the weakness is on the squad. It's that back line. That is it right there. So City's controlling the ball in the midfield. City's controlling the ball down the wings. They're trying to find the mutant. They're trying to get it open up in front of Rhea. But so far, has not been the case. Are you a little bit disappointed by City's chance creation and or finishing so far, even with all that possession?
Yeah, I mean, so far, but I feel like they're right now, with the lineup they have, this is what you were going to get. Just Guardiola and Mateo Kovacic, you're just setting up for more defensive midfielding holding, I guess we'll say.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to get. You're taken away. You don't have Jeremy Doku out there. You don't have Stones, who's going to pull up and go in the box or go right outside the box and give you more offensive power. So, therefore, this is what you get. I do think the chances will come. I do think City will break through eventually, and it'll just be a matter of if Arsenal can answer. I think this could be a possible draw. So, yeah, man, this is what you get when you start Kovacic and Gardevoir on the same in the same match, and you're missing someone like Stones and Walker who can get up and down the pitch. It's so
easy. we talked about the fact that obviously City fans are a little bit pissed off right now with Southgate for having played Stones 90 minutes against Brazil, and then he starts in the very next match against Belgium, and then he gets injured, right?
Yeah.
So. And I have to agree with our boy LB on that. Why play him in the next game? Like, give Breitbart a chance.
Yeah.
Give someone else a chance, right?
Give him minutes.
You're not playing. Why'd you call Palmer up and not play him?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous,
yeah,
you know?
That's it.
So you said earlier today when we were talking, just shooting the breeze, that Ben White told Southgate to go piss off, right?
Yeah, he did. he publicly said, yeah. I am not coming to your camp. You can screw off. I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
because he didn't want to go and just sit on the bench. He knows he's not going to play him.
Right.
So he said, why go waste my time? And he publicly said it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree, man.
So people understand what the lineup is. City playing a 4-1-4-1. Arsenal lined up in the typical 4-3-3. Now, up front right now, Saka, Havertz, and Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. On paper, right, that's not a bad front three, you would say, right? Because Havertz is a little bit improvement over what he was at the beginning of the season. Scored a goal with the German national team in the international break, right? Got that, was it him that scored the 2-0 against France, right?
Yeah.
So you have to think, like, probably his confidence is growing a little bit. I'm surprised I haven't seen more from Saka right now here as the second half is about to kick off.
It's just... Gabriel Jesus is being played out of position, so they're already on the back leg. Martinelli's a big part of the attack. It's all been down the right side, so whatever's going on over there, and if I'm not mistaken,
On the right side, you have White and Saliba over there.
Well, it's Gabriel De Jesus is on the left for Arsenal.
Oh, you're
they're
saying
attacking.
Coming down.
Yeah, it's all been...
Arsenal's coming down the right
everything,
side. Yes.
And City's been coming down the right with Akanji, Silva. It's literally been all on that side. If you look at the heat map, it's pretty ridiculous. So they'll make changes and they'll fix that. But I just think it'll be too much.
My thing is this: I think what would scare me is with all that possession, you got to think. You know, United had the lead 1-0 over City at the half. They're a team that can score three on you in a matter of 10 minutes, right? So what bothers me. In that midfield four, three of them are De Bruyne, Silva, and Foden.
Yeah.
And then you have the mutant up front. You got to think over the next 45 minutes plus stoppage time, they're going to break through.
Yeah.
Arsenal cannot continue to let them have the ball like this. You know, United tried that strategy, right?
Yeah.
United said, we're going to give you the ball. You can go. You can shoot 40 times if you want. Well, guess what? If you give City that many attempts, and they haven't had it thus far, you've got to think that that'll change here in the second half.
Yeah, looking at the City attack map, it's all been on the bottom right. All attacking in the final third, it is all on the right. So,
huge miss right there by Kovacic.
Yeah, Kovacic. Well, he's not going to be your goal scorer. There's for no reason should he be. So.
Yeah, but he's in there for a different reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk to you guys again at the end of the match. We get post-match reactions, all this stuff, and... wrapping it up here at Evans Oast Brewery for the
obviously the biggest match in the Premier League this weekend. Maybe one of the, maybe when we look back on this season, this could be the biggest could be match, the weekend yeah. where things went in a certain club's favor from the Northwest. We'll see about that though. So the final second's ticking off here. It looks like this might be the last attack. We're in the 90th plus 5. Reyes on the ball, and they've blown the whistle. So 0-0. Perfect weekend for Liverpool. They get the 3 points against Brighton, 2-1 in that win, and City and Arsenal draw. And you have to say, Nick, for Arsenal, they took 4 out of 6 points from City this season. They won at the Emirates. They drew here at the Etihad. They have not won, I think, here since 2015 or so, but they didn't lose. And so Arsenal has to take this as at least a moral victory, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, we move forward. That's the theme of this. It's gonna take some slipping up by somebody to have a front runner here. Arsenal just couldn't capitalize. City just can't finish at the end. I feel like Alvarez could have changed something. Maybe this match was just meant to be more defensive. Both managers were just okay with the draw. It seemed like City came at him a little bit more, but with the lineup, man, with Kovacic and Gardevoir, I kind of figured this would be the outcome. And that's what we got, man. 0-0.
Well, here's the thing, right? So we were looking for maybe
Pep's
a
pissed, yelling at Jack.
Yeah, Pep's angry. Is yelling at Jack Grealish right now. Very animated, very upset. Grealish did not necessarily have the best performance coming on today. You know, 115 million euro player.
And he brought him on. He gave him time. So that's what he's bitching about. He wants time. You had 20, 25
now
minutes.
Who Pep's arguing with.
Oh,
there's a little bit of drama here. So Haaland's trying to pull Pep back. Or no.
Well,
Pep's actually pulling his players back. Yeah, there's a little bit of jawing going on between Arsenal and City right now. All right, Declan Rice is in there. They're laughing it off. Oh, now there's a hug.
They're
now they're hugging. Yeah, yeah. Mutants hugging them. Mutants hugging him. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay, well, look here. So, no, tactically, like, you're looking at this, right? Look like this, basically, Arsenal makes that substitution in the 69th minute, I believe it was, defensive substitution, right? So it already looks like with 20 minutes to go in regulation that Arteta's playing for that 1 point. I mean, you pointed that out, right? That's a defensive substitution. Well, we just got a score update. Stuttgart were up 2-0. About to go 1 point behind Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga, and Heidenheim has scored three unanswered goals. 3-2 is now the score for Heidenheim.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt Stuttgart this week, but that is anyway, not trying to break into this, but yeah. So next week right here, Arsenal versus Luton Town, Manchester City versus Aston Villa, Liverpool versus Sheffield. So Arsenal and Liverpool should be getting a layup, playing two of the bottom three teams in the Premier League. That should be 3 points for Arsenal, 3 points for Liverpool. City's playing Villa, another top four side. So if it doesn't get any easier for City, this is a very, very tough path for them right now this week and then next week to gain any kind of ground on the two frontrunners in Liverpool and Arsenal. But back to this match, Nick, 72% possession for Man City at the end of this match, 28% for Arsenal, and yet City only managed to get one shot on goal. Arsenal got the two. One of them was directly at the keeper. Bad angle on that shot, but it was a shot on goal nonetheless. So what did you think? I mean, Doku really didn't make an impact. Arsenal kept their shape really well. So they were in the back getting basically, no pun intended, an Arsenal shot at them. It was a complete just offensive outburst by City, just trying to find the gap, trying to find someone open, trying to get the ball to the number nine in there. Never were able to get a clear path. A lot of shots blocked. Foden, of course, dangerous from outside the box. Never was able to get a clear shot. He took one. It got blocked. I think they saw very early on, you know, Arsenal's not going to let anything by. You're going to have to earn this. City tried. They were getting free kicks. You had Kevin De Bruyne with a free kick outside the box.
they were making contact with each other with the link-up play, but they weren't able to actually get that last pass or that last attempt that needed to be completed in order to get a clear shot on goal. Rhea also had a pretty damn good match for Arsenal. So what were your thoughts there? I mean, it looked like only one team was really playing in attack and one team was playing in defense. Arsenal's defense, though, held up. They took a very similar strategy to United. United were able, they conceded three goals in the second half. Arsenal never conceded, never gave up, and always kept their shape. That back line held their own. Midfield came back to support when they needed. And, yeah, I mean, I got to say, as far as defensive effort goes, Arsenal had an A-plus game today. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, Arsenal stopped City from scoring for the first time at home since 2021. Arsenal's 8-game win streak in the league has now been broken. So now they have not won their 9th in a row. Now it's stopped. City has I think this is 23 in a row where they have no losses. So yeah, man, it just all came down to tactics, and it was all Arsenal stopping City. I mean, the chances just really, they just weren't there for City. Every time City had the ball in the box, there was seven, eight Arsenal guys. Their shots were crap. They couldn't break through. Saliba and Gabriel, all these guys were just lights out. All the pundits are picking Saliba as player of the game. Just shut them down completely. Doku just needs a little bit more work finishing. He's, you know, we got to remember he's only 19, I think. So we got time there for him. Kevin, you know, couldn't break through. Jack, same. Just great defensive match by Arsenal. I gotta say, man, they did a good job.
Well, we've talked about Doku in the past, and this is the thing, is that he can obviously create chances. He can get open. He can get into the half spaces and wreak havoc. But he's always had a very, very inconsistent finishing product in front of the goal. And that, of course, when you have a team that, like Arsenal, that is keeping their shape defensively.
They just tied it.
So Stuttgart is just tied it. They tied it. It's 3-3. So a lot of goals here. I mean,
Undav tied it in the 8th in stoppage time.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So they're going to at least get 1 point. So yes. Stuttgart, yeah. So I'm going to say, like, that this is where that hurts, is when you're not able to finish, right?
Yeah.
You're not able to create the final chance or that final pass, key pass, to get either your man open or to get yourself open. And you saw a lot of this, right? What I saw for City is a lot of dribbling, and they were trying to create a gap of some kind, whether it was to draw Arsenal out.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is they were never able to draw Arsenal out. When you saw a cross go in, Arsenal always had one guy in front of the goal, one guy at the far post, one guy at the near post. That's critical, right? Because Rhea then is not left out to dry. But what that does is it limits your ability to attack, because you have now so many players on the back end by the goal, so it limits your ability to get the ball forward quickly and counter. And so City's able to recover on a counterattack. Now, there were a couple of chances, but very few, that Arsenal were able to get with any kind of clear path going forward. I remember two, I think, in the second half, and of course one of them was the one that went directly to I'm drawing a blank on the keeper right now, not Ederson.
Ortega,
right. So then, I mean, that's the downside of it, right? And I feel like that we saw probably Arsenal way too early sort of concede that they were going for a draw.
Yeah.
I mean, did you think at any point that Arsenal were trying to seriously win the game? I mean,
no.
City were. City
no,
were trying
yeah.
to get
City,
3 points, right?
City were coming after the 3 points. Arsenal just were okay with that draw. Well, who the hell wouldn't be when you're at the Etihad? You gotta be okay with taking a draw. You have to, especially in the title race, where losing the match would have meant so much more than a draw. Losing here would have, Arsenal could have been, that would have been, they would have, you stuck a fork in them. It was over with. So
right.
This kept them alive, keeps hopes alive. Even though their hopes and dreams normally come crashing down, at least they're put on hold right now. And we'll see what they can do in the future. City do have Palace and Luton out of the next three. Aston Villa they have at home. I don't see City dropping points to any of those, so we'll see, man.
Let's get our guy back over here and see what he thought about it.
Which guy?
Saka. Yeah, we'll get Saka. Yeah. Go grab Saka. Saka's coming over here to tell us what he thought about the match. You know, this is because we've got a live reaction over here from Arsenal supporters. We want to see what they actually thought about the match, because that's the whole point of this, right? So all right, so final thoughts on this match. Final thoughts on the match as far as what you saw. Now, not a lot of change in the second half from the first. You had 28% possession, two shots on target. City had one, over 72% possession. So you have to think to yourself, I mean, we were just talking about the fact Arsenal kept their shape really well. The back line, amazing. Always a guy in front of the goal or at the far post, near post. So any kind of cross that was coming in, Raya had assistance, he had help. But what that does is it also limits your attack to get forward, because you're having half your teams in the defensive third. So you're not able to quickly push it forward. There were two attempts that really were, I would say, good attempts by Arsenal in the second half on those counters.
The noteworthy, yeah.
Yeah, one was that second shot on goal, but unfortunately, yes. Ortega, yeah. Position-wise, right there, right? But what were your, 69th minute, defensive substitution. I'm already thinking, okay, Arteta's playing for that point.
Yeah, tell me, Austin. I think, especially first half, all I was thinking, we set up in such a low block. We basically, I think it was about the 25-yard line. That's basically where we would say, okay, yeah. We're not letting them pass here.
Right.
But that was, I feel like, the opposite of the first game at home, where I feel like right. City tried to do that to us, but they have so much attacking prowess, and their backup and everyone is just too lethal that they were going to attack always.
Right.
So that's why I feel like this game was just, Arteta said, I'm okay with it. Like, y'all attack as much as you want, you're not getting a good chance. Haaland's not getting a clear shot. He's not going to run behind our back line. I feel like he was playing the old David Moyes, that counterattack.
David Moyes, yeah.
I feel like that's what we were doing today, which is not normal at all for him. But I still feel like the way he set us up tactically, he still had Trossard when he came on. I feel like Odegaard, the positions he was taking up, he gave us really good chances to break.
Yeah. Yes. Now, we were talking about this, right? The Doku, Phil Foden, a lot of dribbling around the box. Foden, of course, can hit that outside the box shot with lethal accuracy, right?
Yeah.
There was no room.
Yeah.
There's no room. Arsenal shifted, kept their shape. No one really had a brain lapse. No one was out there looking like they were out of
right.
confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the one side, I said, I was telling Nick, I didn't see a lot of attack from Arsenal, but if you look at it from a bigger picture, right? Luton Town next week should be guaranteed 3 points, and then you should be. I know, right? It should be. I know Spurs struggle with it, but that's Spurs, right? That's a whole different ballgame. But the point is, big winners of the weekend: Arsenal and Liverpool. City have played Villa next weekend. That's another top four side. Sheffield get Liverpool, so that's the worst team in the league versus the best team in the league. And Luton Town, bottom three versus Arsenal in second place. So the reason I say big winners of the weekend, Arsenal look at this as like, okay, we got a point, and now next weekend we get our three. We stay right behind Liverpool. City's like, we have to win next week for sure now.
That's
why the pressure's on.
Right? Beautifully said. I think Arteta knew we don't have an easy run in for
That's
the rest
right.
of the season, but I think he knew this is the game that if we lost this,
lose.
I think
yeah.
I think they lose their heads. I think a lot of the guys, and I feel like it's
we
basically
saw that
what
last
happened.
Season.
Exactly, yeah. I think you're talking about us throwing it away. That's basically what happened. We just one key game that lost. And
to me, this was a muscle flex by Arsenal to say you're still chasing us.
Interesting.
You're still chasing us. The fact is, what you just said is so critical mentally.
Mm-hmm.
If City go ahead of them in the table with less than 10 match days to go,
it's
now
lost.
Arsenal's
it's
saying
lost.
It's happening again. It's happening 100%. Again. But they're 100%. Still being the ones that are the hunters. City is still behind us. As long as we can keep that behind us, you win 3 points next week, they get a draw against Villa again, now we break it even further out. And then it's a two-horse race between Arsenal and Liverpool. That's it. City can basically look at, like, we're going to try and defend the Champions League, but Arsenal and Liverpool aren't going to lose that many more matches, if any. So City knows, like, we have to be perfect.
They have to be. Guaranteed.
Yeah. So that's why I say a point at the Etihad, 3 points at the Emirates. Y'all took 4 out of 6 from them this year. When you look back at this season, no matter where the finish is, that's critical to a title, a top four, finishing above them, whatever you look at it. Like,
it
collapses. This was the mental muscle flexing.
That was our biggest hurdle.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got 8 points from the top two teams we're competing with.
That's right.
Two of easily the best, 7 years, the best teams hands down. Like, not arguable. Those teams have created a new era of this
Correct.
Football dynasty that changing from old Arsenal, Man United back then.
Yeah.
Now it became Liverpool, Man City.
It was
beautiful. But that's, I think this is amazing to see the progression from even just when Arteta stepped in to getting to this level now. the fact that we can even, I can even just say we got a point at the Etihad is unreal.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's like even Liverpool is struggling there. It's an awful place to go for every team.
It is. But here's the difference, and one thing I'll say in Arsenal's favor, right? You look at the match between United and City a couple of weeks ago, or it was a month ago, whatever, the Manchester Derby, right? So United tried the exact same strategy. They go up 1-0 and they say we're going to park it deep, right?
They did.
But they don't have the discipline, they don't have the players, and they don't have the structure to do that. Arsenal had a clear-cut game plan and said, if we don't score, fine, but we're not conceding.
But we're not, that's right.
But when City got the equalizer against United, they fell apart.
Yeah, that's
and that's
right.
where it was. That's Three right. goals in the second half, and it was done. Arsenal was never had a crack.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm most impressed about over 95 minutes, that Arsenal did not have a crack.
To me, the jump from last year, everyone likes to talk about last year, how exciting it was, and like the hype was, and it was real. It was all the fans. It was just nice to see like the stadium as loud as it was, and hearing that was different than what we were used to. But that defensive stability that he has built in us is the biggest game changer.
Yeah.
Especially even from last year. I think last year we basically had our back four, and if anyone came in, it was maybe Tomiyasu.
Yeah.
This year now we have a couple options. He's Kivior, at the start of the year, a lot of people were like, hey, I don't know if he'll ever even make it into the team. And now he's looking great. Like he's not good going forward, but that's exactly what we need him to be. We need him to be a defender. Yeah, we don't want that.
When on set pieces, you saw Haaland talking a little bit of smack, right? And it's like Arsenal basically sitting back to him saying, why don't you shut the hell up, right?
Yes.
So there's the last factor of this game to me is Arsenal was not intimidated. And that's the Arteta effect that I believe is most crucial, is that Arsenal are intimidated. You take that those last couple years of Wenger, you take the squad from 5 years ago in there and they get hammered.
Oh,
yeah.
1,000%.
Right.
Four years ago, it feels like we were losing 5-0 and it was guaranteed. We knew going to that game, maybe we can get a goal.
Yeah.
We knew we were conceding that many.
Any of Unai Emery's sides going there, they get hammered, right?
100%.
But today, you saw a difference. They're jawing back at them. Like, we're up here for a reason, guys.
That's right.
In front of you for a reason.
That's right.
And we beat you at home. So it was City's match.
It was City's match
to make a statement, and they didn't.
And they had the chances to. They couldn't break it down. And that's the annoying thing is I remember as an Arsenal fan, we used to have that issue against a lot of teams. They would just sit in the low block, and that's what I was used to watching 90 minutes of us possess the ball but never really make a good chance. But the other team would do it. And I feel like now it's just we don't have to be like that. We can adapt. I feel like Arteta has become very flexible where he can say, I know when we need to attack and I know when we need to stop. And it looks like it's overcoaching sometimes, but I feel like it's a beautiful way if he sees it differently.
Yeah.
I see something with him that is like the Pep. They're psychopaths.
It was an interesting for us because it's the tale of two cities, and I don't mean that, no pun intended, about the book.
I like that.
But what it is like Liverpool and City. Manchester City say we're going to sit back. Liverpool come at us at Anfield, right? But we're going to get fewer chances than you, but ours are going to be better because we're going to be on the counter against the Kwanzaa, against BBD, who's lost a little bit of speed, right? And against two left backs who, honestly, aren't the best in the world right now. Andy Robertson's a little bit on the downside. Joe Gomez, he can be had, right?
Yeah.
So they concede possession to Liverpool, ends up in a 1-1 draw, right? This today, they're just like, we're going to take it to Arsenal because we know that they are mentally fragile. And that's where Arsenal said, we're different now. This is a completely different side.
100%.
And that right there, Pep, he's animated after the game because he's like, we let this, they're here, they're for real, right?
He knows.
So I was very impressed. I was very impressed as a whole. And
great
I think that, yeah, I think, I mean, because it's, I've been waiting on this Arsenal for like 12, 13 years.
Well, I'm sure Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
I've been
too.
Waiting for probably longer, to be honest.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Well, you still, still got to. You gotta win something. You know what I'm saying?
I do think though that the biggest thing is that this shows us that for the next 5 years, if Arteta's still there, with no Klopp, all it takes is one city, like one down year, and we can be that team that.
Yeah, like Bayern Munich,
exactly.
And now Leverkusen,
and now they stepped in.
This is Arsenal's best chance at a title since 2004. Really, it
1,000%.
Is. And
2006, I think it was. I think that was the year they were with Man United, and then like the last five games they lost.
That's right. Yeah, but 2004 is the
but
last one time
the
they
real,
lost. Yeah, yeah and then 2006 Champions League final against Barcelona. Now that brings me to my last point. Bayern Munich have already conceded the Bundesliga. It's unheard
it's
of.
Done?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Tuchel. Okay.
Tuchel
came out yesterday and said congratulated Bayer Leverkusen.
Really? Yeah. Yes. See that. Okay.
Yeah. Verbal congratulations.
Oh, I love that.
So he's actually the manager of Bayern Munich, who is soon to be the outgoing manager of Bayern Munich for a reason. But he's already said it's done.
Yeah, he said congratulations.
He said congratulations, wow. Bayer Leverkusen, first time Bundesliga champ.
Holy shit, yeah.
But what that does is it makes an interesting scenario in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. Bayern Munich only have that left to play for.
They're focusing now.
And now it's like, hey, we don't even have to focus on them. They've got that small potatoes for us. Now we're going to go for Europe. So before that, I said, this is Arsenal. 2 weeks ago on our program, I said Arsenal's best chance is a Bayern that is completely mentally fighting two wars on two fronts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they say it's one front.
They can see
they can focus on Arsenal. And on the Arsenal side, this is the most vulnerable Bayern Munich they've ever faced. This is not the same Mesut Ozil squad that got annihilated.
5-0.
Right,
so
exactly.
Y'all are so worried about the league. You got the league, too, that you're thinking about. So it's a lot.
Yeah, so you guys are fighting the two-front war.
It's
Arsenal that has to say, hey, well, we want to be Premier League champs. It's been 20 years.
Yeah, but we also want to get over
this damn hurdle that Bayern Munich's embarrassed us the last couple times. That was Wenger versus Pep back in that day, right?
It was.
So that's what I have to ask you. What are your thoughts on that Champions League quarterfinal matchup?
I'll tell you, it pisses me off that this game was before.
Yeah.
Because I hate that now I feel like people are going to see Arsenal as real contenders. And
yeah.
I feel like, I'd say 3 months, it felt like pretty much the whole 2024, we've been the underdogs. We've been playing amazing, but people haven't noticed, and I love it.
Yeah.
Because I did it last year. It was all about
an 8-game Premier League win streak.
We were, it was 30 something goals. Ton of goals.
Yeah, but 4 or 5 a game.
Last year, it felt like you could see that fragility where it felt like everyone was talking, and the minute like they don't talk about you, or the minute that it's like the pressure really comes on, it felt like we just snapped it. And this year, it feels like I hate that it's starting to come back. It feels like, but I will say, I'm always going to be terrified of Bayern. I feel like I just got awful memories.
Everyone should.
And honestly, it's just a general thing. But
always
I would say,
dangerous team.
It's such an interesting kind of path that Arteta's on, much like Klopp.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal, where everybody said no one believes in them when he took over because there have been so many times where they've gone in with high expectations. Liverpool, choke artists, 8th place when Klopp takes over. Brendan Rodgers had the title secured 2013-14. Gerrard slips. They lose it. And the bottom falls out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Klopp says, and I say this as Arteta's doing, you have to turn doubters into believers and believers into champions, right?
Yeah.
And that's what Arteta's doing. Arteta 100%. Has shown me over the course of the years he's been there, he's gradually built, and now the team, like I said, I thought they were ahead of schedule last year. This year is what his vision was, right?
This is the course.
This is
what's his plan.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting path, right? Because it seems like Arsenal's almost mirrored Liverpool's rise when Klopp took over, when Arteta took over at the same time in Arsenal.
That's a very good comparison.
Yeah.
I think one of the first things Arteta said when he came in, that was mid-season. We had Ljungberg for like 3 games, and then it was Emery before that, and it was an awful start to the year. I think that was when we were in the relegation places for the first 5 games. It was awful. But I remember when he first came in, the first thing he said was, I need to win the fans back on side. He said, I need the fans to be backing this team.
So what do you say about the Arsenal fans who are Arteta out? Do you think they're just crazy?
I think they're just reactive. And I think a lot of them, sometimes I think they're looking for views.
Attention.
I think they're looking.
So do you watch, League Gunner and all them? Do you watch?
I used to watch, AFTV, League Gunner. Troops.
I don't watch AFTV.
I'll tell you this.
I think he's funny.
Church?
I do like Troops. I met him in Charlotte. And he's
nice.
A funny. He's actually just a very, that's who he is,
okay.
Which I love.
I'll tell you this. Klopp's first 3 years when he was building, a lot of Klopp out. Very,
shocking to
very, 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 very big trending hashtag on Twitter at that time. Yeah.
Really?
One loss to Crystal Palace at home. Klopp out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I've seen that plenty, too.
I agree on some of the stuff. If I'm a fan of a club, and you've been here for 4 or 5 years, and you don't bring home anything, and we've just bottled things, and we go to a tournament where we lose, we get kicked out, where's the silverware? The whole point of being a club is to win trophies. So where are those? If you can't do that in 5 to 8 years, I feel like that's plenty of time. It's time to...
See, I feel like I disagree with you on Yeah, I feel like in a general sense, in a general sense, as far as like a top team, a Liverpool now, Man City now.
Well, you're Arsenal, you're supposed to be
but,
top.
But that's the thing is we have to set ourselves realistically. We have to, like, Liverpool at the time, I think they had to be realistic and say, look, we're not going to win the league.
Right.
Like, even 13-14 was it was kind of wild.
It was smoke and mirrors.
It was a fever dream.
And the thing is, if they'd have won it, they wouldn't have defended that title. It would have been they would have gone next season and finished fifth or sixth.
Exactly.
You're three, 4 seasons in, and now's the time where you need to start seeing some results, right?
I think you still give him eight years.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I would give him 8 years. Genuinely, the way he has built this from even looking at our youth, and I'm seeing now we're signing certain, like Ethan Nwaneru was recruited by Man City, I think Liverpool at the time, when he was 15 years old when he came on. And I think Arteta, apparently, like a lot of, it's all stuff from other people, but a lot of times I've heard that he has been a huge part of, he sat down with his parents and said, look, I have this plan, and I want him by 18 to be there.
We got another one right here. What did you think of the game?
Please. Satisfied?
Satisfied, okay.
Satisfied.
Excellent.
I'll take it, absolutely.
Okay.
Any day I'll take it.
4 points out of six taken from City this year.
When was the last time we've done that?
Yeah, I
can't remember that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, probably before the oil money came in.
Yeah, there you go. Before the 115.
That's what we're talking about. Is that this right here is more of a win for Arsenal and more of a loss for City because City have the harder path. Villa next week. You guys get Luton. You get the chance to stay in second place and chase Liverpool. If they don't win next week, City's got to start looking at maybe just getting for the Champions League because it's going to be a two horse race between the Gunners and between the Reds.
You think Arsenal has the hardest run in? Are you including City?
No, I think I looked at it, and I think City's very close. Yeah, Liverpool has the easiest.
Liverpool has the easiest. I'd say Arsenal probably have the hardest run, especially with just all the away games.
Well, this was the hard one.
This was the biggest hurdle, and you passed the test.
Yeah.
The biggest thing too is we have three teams who are going to really want to stop us. We have Spurs, Chelsea, and Man United. Yeah. We're all going to say, I don't want Arsenal.
Yeah, we don't want
them
to win. Yeah, of course. They'll play the game of the season to stop Arsenal.
They will. I've heard Chelsea fans say, "This is our season now. We're not winning something."
So let's just fuck Arsenal.
And what's interesting in your talk about the progression of Arteta? So Klopp's leaving, right? So can Arsenal then say, "No, we're now cemented top two. It's us and City.
I think
and Liverpool's going to be third, right?" That's what you have to see. That's why he's going to keep building.
I think that's his goal. I think that's what he wants.
He knows that in the back of his mind. He's gone. So I have that other powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of my way right now.
No matter who
they get, it's going to be a change in tactics, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to take a time to adjust. Now Arsenal's going to have year six of Arteta in a row. Systems they know five or six.
They know the system.
They know the manager.
He came in the middle of the season. Yeah.
It's truly his squad now. Mm-hmm. So no excuses. The next year, you'd be like, hey, we're one of the top two.
I think next year, if we're not, barring any injuries, obviously any big key things.
You lose Saliba or Gabriel.
Both of them, those two
pairings are incredible.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a solid look for a good couple years at least.
Yeah.
Hey, great talk to you. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for coming over and talking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Great having you on the show.
Beckham's basement, right?
Tell your friends.
I got you.
You'll be on there. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be on there a lot.
Love hearing what y'all have to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Congratulations, man.
I got you. I don't have Twitter, but I'll be on Instagram. Instagram? No.
Yeah.
See you, man.
See you
guys. So there you heard it, folks. That's a live reaction from the Arsenal supporters. And, I mean, honestly, like Nick, I'll just close out with saying that, you have to look at this as a win for Arsenal. This was an absolute.
They could not lose, bro.
No, and it was an absolute dominance by City in possession. But you know, we've already talked about this so many times about how possession doesn't mean wins. How many times have you seen, Bayern Munich dominate possession against Bremen? They lost.
Quality over possession, man.
And while Arsenal didn't have that many quality shots, they did just enough to keep City a little bit interested on defense, right? Okay. Because they did have a few counters in the second half, like I said. But what they did do on defense, A-plus defending, kept their shape, kept their composure, didn't bend, didn't break.
Yeah.
And that's the difference right there, Nick. Arsenal in the past would have broken. They would have been broken open. 1-0 turns into 3-0, and you see Pep right now being interviewed. Oh, you're the greatest. You know, Holland's going to be smiling and laughing. The Mutant's going to be doing the post-match interview. They're going to interview Foden, who can barely talk English, speak English, but he'll still be interviewed with this Allen Iverson haircut from 97. Yeah. And then you're going to have KDB talking about how he made those final passes. But you know what? Didn't matter. They could not find that open. They could not find that gap.
Yeah.
And they were unable to convert their chances at the end of the day. And so we end up with a 0-0 draw, which is actually more like a 0-0 win for Arsenal.
Yeah, man. It was a good one. I don't feel like this was one of the garbage 0-0s we see a lot. So definitely a win for Arsenal. And we got, what, 7 more matches? We got 7 or 8 more matches, and we got a long way to go, my friend. This is far from being over. We're one of these 3 teams losing away from someone else jumping in the first place.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Big race.
Well, this has been fun here at Edmunds O's Brewing in downtown Charleston. Arsenal Supporters Club showed their hospitality. It was amazing. Very good turnout. Whether you like them, you love them, you don't, you have indifferent to the Gunners, this is a true fan supporters club. Just you know, behind me sits the kit of the great Thierry Henry to the back of me. So I mean they've done it up right in here. So again, we appreciate that we were able to come here and host the podcast from here. And yeah, we want to thank all y'all for listening. This has been an amazing time. We've had a lot of fun. And Nick and I, this is our first of many supporters club shows that we're going to do, get live reactions, talk to you guys at the half, get a little pregame going, and then wrap it up with some supporter comments, what they thought about their club.
Yeah, had a blast. This is worth it all.
And of course, everybody, we will talk to you at our regular scheduled time on Thursday when the new podcast drops. Until then, this is Beckham's Basement signing out.
Thanks. Through the snow.